since 1984, that's before crazy. Some of you have been born. And I can't remember exactly the first service I went to at Alliance Christian Center, but he was a lot younger then. I think he had a beard.
I might have had a beard, yeah.
Yeah. And what really struck me about Kirk Martin is he is a man of the Word of God. And it was just like you had your Bible, you had to keep up and flipping through. He'd say, and this, and then he'd say, you need to turn to this scripture and that, and turn to this scripture right. And this. And he is a man of the Word of God, and I love the way he unpacks the Word of God. You're in for a treat today as he comes speaks. Most of you know him, but if you don't, know that he is an incredible man of God and an incredible servant of the Lord. He's served the Lord for a long, long time, and this outreach church is a result of some of his ministry, as well as the Hispanic church tonight. So, anyway, without further ado, Kirk Martin.
Oh boy, now, now you got to live up to that. Thank you, Paul. Well, this is actually the first time I've been to a church service here since you started, so I'm excited to be here. And I love all of you. I've met some people today. Thank you. God bless you guys for being here. Most of you I do know, and I love you, and pray that God will continue to bless the work that you're doing over here in this community. This, for me, has been a season of weddings. Today will be the fourth wedding in 4 weeks. Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
And we had... Well, some of you might know all of these people. Let's see, who was all the weddings? Let me think. Yeah. Julia and Noah had a wedding. And Nick and Nicole had a wedding. And Paul and Jane had a wedding. All right, Paul and Jane had a wedding. And today, Josh and Amanda. So, I wanted to apologize to you, Paul, because on the day of the wedding, I kind of shouted out to everybody and said, hey, Paul and Kathy are going to come in and greet you. And I have this kind of Freudian slip from time to time. And I apologize because I love Jane. I'm glad that the Lord's brought you two together. I think you have a great time in the future for how God will bless your family and the church. And I just hope that everybody really gets behind what you're doing. I mean, I thank the Lord that you had a wonderful life for many years with Kathy, and she's gone to be with the Lord, and we thank God for that. I mean, she didn't go to hell, amen? She's with the Lord, and now you're here, and God brought somebody else into your life. It's a beautiful thing. The Bible says it's not good that a man should be alone. Amen? It's not good, so I'm glad you found a good thing. He who finds a wife finds a good thing. Did you find a good thing in Jane? I think you did. Amen. All right. Well, I just honor you too, Paul, for the work you're doing and all the... I know you do a lot of stuff, so thank the Lord for that. Jane, for being a helper suitable. It's kind of funny. You came into his life as this new venture was starting, and praise the Lord for that. I'm sure you've been a blessing and will be a blessing to the church here as well. So, amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this body of believers. I thank you for those who have given of their lives to serve you for so many years. There's so many in this room I know who've walked with you for years and years. And we're so grateful to be called your children. But we're also grateful, Lord, that you've called us to labor beside you. And I want to share with that this morning, that concept of being laborers with God. I pray that you would cause these scriptures to come alive in our hearts, Lord, and bring change to all of our lives. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. I'm going to start in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9. Just one little piece of scripture there. And I'm reading this in the King James Version. It says, we are laborers together with God. Think about that for a minute. God didn't just call us to work for him. He called us to work, in a sense, alongside him. We are laborers with him. In other words, he's working, and he says, Jack, come and work with me. Mervyn, come and work with me, because God's doing something. I've never really thought much about that. It's kind of been stirring in my heart for the last 6 or 8 months that God is actually at work. I mean, we know that, but I've been thinking about it and meditating on it and looking through the scriptures that God is working. He's working all the time. He's working in my heart. He's working in your heart. Even today, as we're worshiping the Lord, I'm sure that God was doing a work in some of your hearts. He was speaking things to you. The other thing that's amazing, though, is that God is working today in the lives of people right outside this building. Maybe that guy across the street over there. Wonder what God's doing in his life. I mean, I wonder if God even cares about him. I believe he does. And God's at work in this man. God's at work in the people that live right over here and the guy that lives back here. I wonder what he's doing. And I'm wondering if God might use me to labor with him. I think the invitation's out there. He's saying, who wants to labor with me? Jesus one time was accused of healing somebody on the Sabbath day, and I like what he said. He said, my Father works, and I work. And that's the kind of person I want to be. Amen? My Father works, and I work. And so it's really the idea of saying, Lord, help us see what you're doing so we can get involved in it. Let me see what you're doing in the life of my neighbor or in the life of my children or in the life of my spouse or in the life of the people I work with or the life of the children I go to school with. God is working. And the thing about it is oftentimes that work that God does is invisible. You don't see it. Maybe at night they're crying on their bed saying, oh God, you know, something has to change in my life. And they're crying out to God. And the Lord's saying, I want someone to labor with me to go and talk to that person. And so Paul said, we are laborers together with God. I love that idea. And I want that to really be the theme of my own life. Even as these last years of my life on the earth are here, I don't really plan to retire. I plan to labor with God. So we are laborers together with God. Father, what is it that you're doing, and how can I be involved? You are God's husbandry, and you are God's building. I'm going to spend the rest of the time today in Acts, the 8th chapter, and I want to look at it in terms of how God is at work. God is at work on the earth, and he uses people. We are laborers together with him. In this particular chapter, the Lord chose a man named Philip to be a laborer with God. So let's start off in verse 1. Saul approved of his execution. This was when Stephen was stoned for preaching the gospel. Saul approved it. Saul, who later became Paul. And then look at what it says here. First of all, I want you to just kind of look around the room here. What would happen if the news came that one of our brothers or sisters was executed because of Jesus, not because of a crime, but just because of Jesus, and somebody executed them? That would really do something to the soul of this church. And it says there arose on that day a great persecution. It's almost like first blood. Once they tasted the blood, this persecution rose, and everybody began to come out against the church. So there arose a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem, and it says there, they were all scattered. Everybody is now running. I mean, that might happen if persecution would come. People were running. They're running for their life. They're running for safety. And they're running throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. Those are important areas I'll talk about in a moment. Except the apostles. They stayed in Jerusalem. Devout men buried Stephen, and they made, here's a great word, great lamentation. There was a lot of sorrow, a lot of crying, a lot of sadness over this man's death. Another kind of a heavy word, But Saul was ravaging the church. Ravaging the church. And entering house after house. It's like he was going down through neighborhoods, going into homes and pulling out those who were following Jesus. Men and women, he dragged them off, it says. Can you imagine what it would be like for a little child that's maybe 10, 11, 12 years old to see someone like Saul walk into your house and drag your mom off just because she's serving Jesus? He dragged men and women off and committed them to prison. Didn't that sound like a really a heavy time in this church? But I want you to see the next verse because that's really where my focus is at. Verse 4, now those who were scattered, what did they do? What does it say they did there? They went about preaching the word. They weren't just running in fear. They weren't just running for their life. It says they went preaching the word. And I love that. Amen. I love the fact that even in the midst of persecution and ravaging and scattering and going house to house and the sadness that was there and dragging men and women out of their homes to throw them into prison, somehow in the heart of these people said, we are going to continue to preach the gospel. We're going to continue to preach the word of God. We're not going to allow even this event to stop what God wants to do. Why? Because God is at work. God didn't stop working just because persecution came. He was still at work in the earth. And the question is, are we going to labor with him? And so we find this man, Philip, verse 5, went down to the city of Samaria. Now, my first point in this message this morning is that God will use even persecution for his purpose. Think about that for a minute. God has a purpose to take the gospel throughout the world. Remember that? Remember when Jesus was ascending into heaven, he said, go into Jerusalem and what else? Judea and Samaria. We read those words there. They were scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. What was happening? Well, the church maybe became a little complacent. They were happy to stay in Jerusalem where everything was happy, everything was great. Not really laboring with God. The Lord said, I want you to go Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. There was an idea that you are to go. You're to continue to spread the good news of the kingdom to these other areas, but the church didn't do it. And I wonder, I don't know if it's true, the Bible doesn't really describe it in this way, but I wonder if the Lord brought or at least allowed the persecution to come to wake them up. Because it was after the persecution that they actually went into Judea and Samaria. Sometimes we wonder, what might it take to shake us? What might it take to move us off of top dead center and say, hey, Lord, I want to be a laborer with you. You got to understand that when you, I'll use the word signed on to be a Christian, you signed up for the army of God. You might not know that. You were drafted in. You gave your life to him. And God is at work, and he's looking for laborers. And so the Lord took this persecution, and whether he did it or allowed it, it did fulfill his purpose. It did move the church out. And I love the fact that as they were scattered, they preached. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed Christ to them. The second point I want you to understand about God here is that he saves people, even those that we might consider our enemies. You know, the Jews and Samaritans really didn't have a lot of interaction with one another. There was bad blood there. But the Lord wants the Samaritans to be saved too, the Samaritans. You might think, well, I think God only wants to save these kinds of people. No, God wants to save even our enemies, even people that you may not like. They're a different color. They speak a different language. They live in a different country. They're a different economic level than I am. Doesn't really matter. The Lord is at work, And we are to work. And it might even be true that if you find in your own heart a certain people that you consider your enemy, maybe that's where the Lord's taking you. He took Paul the Apostle, one of the greatest Pharisees of all, and sent him to those vile Gentiles, of which we are. He took Peter, a vile fisherman, and sent him to the Jews who knew so much. Don't be surprised to where the Lord might send you, but God has a heart for even those that we feel are enemies. And I love the fact that Philip's heart was so captured by the Lord that he went easily to these who were considered enemies, and he proclaimed Christ to them. Verse 6, the crowds with one accord paid attention to what was being said by Philip when they heard him, so he was speaking, but they saw the signs he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who had them, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. What in the world's going on here? Can you see what's happening here? God is at work. God wants to open up these people's eyes to the reality of his kingdom. He wants to open up their hearts to the truth of God's word, to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so the Lord actually becomes involved here and works miraculous signs and wonders. When Jesus sent his disciples out, the 12 and the 70, he said, go into cities, preach the good news, preach the kingdom of heaven. And what did he say? Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead. I mean, it's hard for you. If there was a man here who was lame, if the Lord worked a miracle and healed that man, it would be hard to say Jesus isn't real. And so I encourage you, when you go out in your neighborhood and you see the sick or you see those with a need, don't be afraid to pray. Maybe the Lord will use that to open up a heart to the gospel. You know, we always have in the church healing services, and we have them right here. Let's have a healing service. Well, a lot of the healing services you see in the book of Acts were out there. The healing service can happen over at that guy's house, or this person back here, or down there at Walmart. That's where the healing can happen, in the marketplace, in the street, where the lame and the beggars are. And so this man came down to Samaria. There wasn't a church. He couldn't say, hey, I'm putting an advertisement up because we're having a healing service down at First whatever church. He was just there proclaiming. But the Lord was at work. And the Lord said, hey, I want these people of Samaria to also come into my kingdom. So signs and wonders began to happen as he's preaching. The Bible says that God will confirm the word with signs following. So don't be afraid to speak for Jesus. Don't be afraid to speak and proclaim the good news, because that's where the Lord's going to work. And so we see God at work here, even in miraculous ways. How many of you believe that God still wants to work in miraculous ways in the world today? He does. But oftentimes we find that the miraculous happens on the edge of evangelism. It's true throughout the book of Acts. It's true throughout even the ministry of Jesus Christ. The miraculous signs and wonders happen on the edge of evangelism. Somehow we feel like we boxed that up and it becomes a thing for the church alone, and it's not. I mean, God does heal in the church. He tells us if someone's sick, call for the elders, pray for him. That's there. Ministries of healing and gifts and so on are there for the church. But think about how God is at work in the world to reach the lost, and he performs these signs and wonders to open up people's eyes to the reality of the kingdom of God. God may use you that way. It may be among a person you think is your enemy. The Bible says in verse 8, so there was much joy in that city. Amen. That's almost like an understatement, isn't it? I mean, if you see demons coming out of people, lame people walking, people being healed, wouldn't you think there would be joy in that city? And the thing I want you to see here about God's purpose is that we're talking about an entire city here. Not just an individual. Yes, God does minister to individuals. We'll see that even later in this chapter. But I want you to know that God wants to touch cities. He wants the city of Louisville, the city of Canton, the city of Alliance, the city of wherever, to be touched by the gospel of Jesus Christ, to be touched by the reality of his kingdom. So get a bigger vision. Yes, Jesus wants to lead your neighbor to the Lord, but he wants to touch the city for Jesus. Can you believe the Lord for that? And start asking that question. Lord, what has to be done for you to reach the city of Louisville? What has to be done to reach the city of Alliance? What has to be done to reach the city of Canton? I think sometimes we limit the Lord. It's like, Lord, what can I do to reach my neighbor? And again, I'm not putting that down. But I want you to know God's at work in your city. God's at work in our country. He's at work in the world. But I love this, that one man, Philip, one man who in the face of persecution, who could have run and just hidden in fear, not wanting to speak for Jesus, wanting to preserve his own life, he went and he continued to preach. And the Lord moved, and an entire city was touched by one man. And this didn't happen over a period of months. This was like an immediate situation that happened here. God can move very rapidly and very quickly, even in a city. Verse 9, there was a man named Simon who previously practiced magic in the city, and he amazed the people of Samaria. I want you to underscore that word, amazed. He amazed the people of Samaria, saying that he himself was somebody great. Satan always has something out there to amaze people. And people do become amazed, even at the deceptions of the enemy. Even in our world today, people are amazed at things that are drawing them away from the Lord. They're amazed by it. Their hearts are captured. It's like, that I want to follow. And this is what happened with Simon. He had this magic that he practiced in the city. All the people of Samaria, says, were amazed by him, saying that he himself was somebody great. Verse 10, it says, they all paid attention to him. Get that. It's like he was the greatest thing on earth for that city or that area. They all paid attention to him from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the power of God that is called great. And you know, brothers and sisters, we do live in a world just like that today. Amen. Everybody wants to call everything great but Jesus. Everybody wants to bow to every other thing but Jesus. They want to give their lives to anything but Jesus. Well, God is at work, but he's looking for people like Simon, or like, not Simon, forgive me, people like Philip who will go. It says in verse 11, they paid attention to him because for a long time he amazed, there's that word again, he amazed them with his magic. So I want you to understand that this was pretty pervasive in that area. It was the least to the greatest. It happened for a long time. Everybody was involved in looking up to this man. But verse 12, when they believed Philip, as he preached the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. You might think, man, we live in such a wicked world. How can the gospel ever penetrate the world we live in? Well, just like this. Just like this. Here was Simon who had that entire area captured, amazed by what he was doing. And Philip comes in. God is at work. And by preaching the gospel of the kingdom, that thing was just broken in people's lives. And they said, yes, I believe in Jesus. I want to come and get baptized. It happened that quickly. Why should we run and cower and hide because we live in a wicked world? Jesus came to a world that was wicked. Jesus walked in a world whose culture was very debauched from God. And we do as well. But the answer to this world's problems is not in the politician. It's not in Facebook. It is in Jesus Christ. It is in the gospel of the kingdom. God is saying, I want to work in this world. And I want to say, I want to be a laborer with you, Lord. I want to be able to walk into a city like this, even though there may be wickedness, that's very pervasive, and just preach the good news of Jesus Christ, and that you would work in these people and many would come to be baptized. Don't you want to see that? That's what's on the heart of God. God's heart beats for this. I feel like we spend so much time talking about how wicked the world is rather than going out preaching and doing something about it. I mean, if we could just capture all the articles that are written about how terrible our world is, and then say how much are the people of God actually going out there and proclaiming the kingdom of God, I think we'd find a big disparity, don't you, in all honesty? They believed Philip as he preached the good news about the kingdom of God, the name of Jesus Christ. They were baptized, both men and women. Even Simon himself believed. Amazing. Hallelujah. Even Simon himself. You might think there's a person out there who's led this world astray. They're so wicked, they'll never get saved. Even Simon himself believed. How could you stand in the face of God moving? How could you stand in the face of those signs and wonders and those miracles and say Jesus isn't real? Simon's heart itself was touched. You know what? God wants Simons in his kingdom. He wants Paul the Apostles in his kingdom, guys that are persecuting the church. God's at work. His heart is for this world. Even Simon believed, and after being baptized, he continued with Philip, and seeing signs and great miracles performed, he was amazed. There's that word again. He was amazed at the work of God. It would be so much of a blessing for me and for all of us, I think, if we saw people who were involved in leading this world astray came and said, I'm amazed at the work of God. I'm amazed at what Jesus Christ has done. I'm amazed by this. I'm looking forward to that day. My next point, which I just read about here, was look at the influence one person can have. One person. Simon basically influenced this whole area away from the Lord. Philip, one man, turned it all around. Simon had them captured for years. Everybody. Philip came in a day or a week, who knows how long, not long. And everybody turns to Jesus Christ. And they're amazed by the work of the Lord. You might say, well, I'm just one person. I feel like I'm the only person who's going to be faithful to the Lord. I'm the only person who's going to go out there and preach the gospel. That's all right. The Lord only needs one person. Because he's at work. He is at work. And you and him make the majority. One person with the Lord can turn an entire city around. Amen? I mean, this is amazing to me. So don't wait for everybody else to get on the bandwagon. Just go with the Lord. When the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent to them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For he had not yet fallen on any of them, but they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And so they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. I like this, because I see, when I understand what's happening here, I think the Lord is basically trying to recruit more people for his purposes. Why did Jesus tell us to wait for the Holy Spirit? Does anybody remember? We receive power from on high for what? You shall be my witnesses. The Lord wants more witnesses. The Lord wants more people involved in his work. And so when Samaria receives the word of the Lord, he says, you know what? I also want to empower them to be a witness for me. And so he sends Peter and John over there. They pray for them. And this whole area now is baptized in the Holy Spirit. They're receiving the power of God to be a witness. Amen? So I think the Lord even looks at us like that. Hey, are you saved? Are you baptized? Well, get baptized in the Holy Spirit so I can use you to be a witness for me. Yeah, become a fanatic for Jesus. Become ignited. Set on fire for the Lord. The Lord is at work. We are laborers with him. The Lord is at work, even today. There are, if you read the statistics, the church in America today is in decline. A lot of us just, you know, our beliefs have gone down. Our seminaries are turning out people that don't even believe the Word of God. But I want you to know, God is at work.
Amen.
Doesn't matter. God is at work. Let's just find out what He's doing and say, Lord, I want to be a laborer with You. All I need to do is be a Philip. When Simon saw the Holy Spirit was given through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money, saying, give me this power also, so that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit. Peter said, may your silver perish with you, because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. You have neither part nor lot in this matter, for your heart is not right before God. Repent, therefore, of this wickedness of yours, and pray to the Lord that, if possible, the intent of your heart may be forgiven. For I see that you are in the gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity. And Simon said, pray for me to the Lord that nothing of what you said may come upon me. Now when they had testified and spoken the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel to many villages of the Samaritans. So what's happening here? Peter rebuked a man whose heart was not really aligned with the purpose of God. And sometimes that can happen even in the Christian world. We can be about me. It's about me. Give me this power. I want people to see me as the great one. This man Simon had lived all those years as being the great one. And now all of a sudden, Jesus is the great one. But now he sees this miraculous power of laying hands upon people to receive the Holy Spirit. He wants that again. He wants this to be lifted up, to be the man of the hour or whatever. And the Lord doesn't want that.
Amen.
There's only one man of the hour, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Don't lift up man. Lift up Jesus. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. There's nobody here on this planet that's anywhere near the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Lift up Jesus. And if you're a person who wants to be lifted up, then ask the Lord to take that away from you, because you may be in the gall of bitterness like this man. His focus was not upon the purpose of God. It was on personal recognition. And thank the Lord that Peter saw it and reproved it. There's nothing that will stop the work of God sooner or faster than the people of God wanting to take the credit for it. It is the Lord.
Amen.
And I love the fact that after the apostles came and they laid their hands upon these people and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, that they went back to Jerusalem, but they were doing the work of the Lord as they were going. Didn't it say that? Preaching the gospel to many villages of the Samaritans. They weren't thinking, man, we got to get back to Jerusalem. They just, on the way, they're preaching. They find these villages, they're preaching. These guys were laboring together with God. Lord, I wonder if what you did in this city, you'll do in the next city. And they just went and made themselves available to the Lord. Verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place. And he arose and went. That's immediate obedience. I think to be able to be a laborer with the Lord, we have to be able to hear him speak and respond. Respond now. When the Lord told Abraham that he had to circumcise the men and his children to be in covenant with God, the Bible says that very day he did it. I think I would have wanted to take a couple weeks to think about that. Have some meetings. How's everybody feel about this? That very day, Abraham did it. The Lord said to Abraham, take your son, your only son. The very next morning, he packs up the donkey and moves on to sacrifice his son. This was a man of extreme obedience. When the Lord spoke, he was yielded and responsive. And we see that here. The angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go." He arose and went. There was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship, and he was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, I love that. You want to be a laborer with the Lord? Expect that the Holy Spirit is going to speak to you. Expect it. You're going to be out doing your thing, whatever your thing might be, and the Holy Spirit is going to say something to you. Respond. Why? Because God's at work. You could never know just by looking at a chariot riding down the road there that God was at work. But God was at work in this man. This man's heart was being stirred somehow. I mean, he went to Jerusalem. He was a eunuch with the Ethiopians. He went to Jerusalem to worship. You know, maybe he was reading something in the scripture. I don't know, but he ends up over there. He's coming back. He's actually reading the scripture. He's not saved. But his heart is being turned to the Lord. I wonder if that guy across the street's reading his Bible at night. You know, how do we know? We can't tell by looking at people. You might go to work one day and you see this person beside you every day doing the same thing, and at night God is dealing with this person. But what would happen if the Holy Spirit said, on your lunch break today, I want you to go talk to him, and you find he's reading the prophet Isaiah, and he says to you, who's the prophet speaking of here? Is it himself or some other man? And you begin at that very spot and tell him about Jesus. And he says, hey, there's a tub in the back room. How about if we go get baptized? This is how it happens. Why? Because God is at work. That's not us. God is at work. We just kind of stumble into it. We say, Lord, I'm willing. I'm willing to be used by you. And so Philip went to join the chariot. And as he ran there, he heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. And he said, do you understand what you're reading? Well, how can I unless someone guides me? I want you to underline that in your Bible or think about it. I mean, yes, he was being stirred in his heart by the Lord. But there's this interaction with another person. That's why Jesus tells us to go preach the gospel. How can I unless somebody tells me? He invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Sometimes we're afraid to go share the gospel with people, but I'm telling you, people whose heart is being stirred by the Lord will invite you into their chariot. Come into my chariot. Come here. I want to hear what you have to say about this man, Jesus. The passage of scripture he was reading was this: like a sheep was led to the slaughter, like a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life was taken away from the earth. And the eunuch said to Philip, about whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this, about himself or someone else? And Philip opened his mouth. He just opened his mouth. But what got him there? What got him into this place? Hearing from the Lord. Hearing from the Lord and responding. You might say, boy, I would love to be like Philip, be able to have somebody have these kinds of questions for me. Well, there's people out there today that have these kinds of questions. God is at work. Who will go for us? Who will I send? Who will stand in the gap? Who will be the one? That's the Lord's question. And so Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized? Wouldn't you love that to happen? It's like sometimes you feel like you got to convince somebody to get baptized. What if they start asking you? Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he replied, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away. What? Why? Why did the Spirit of the Lord carry Philip away? Because the Spirit of the Lord is at work, and he found in Philip a man who would respond. You might, maybe your dream is to be carried away by the Lord. I don't know. But I'm telling you, it happened to him because he was responding to the Lord. He left a revival in Samaria to go down to the desert. And he ran to the chariot because the Lord told him to. And he led this man to the Lord. So yes, the Lord cares about a city. He can turn a whole city upside down in a day with a man. But he also cares about the individual. Like here, God is at work. And it says, the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus. And as he passed through, he preached the gospel. Everywhere these people went, they were preaching the gospel. He who sows much reaps much. He who sows little reaps little. How did it happen that in the book of Acts we see so many people coming to Christ? They were sowing much. They were preaching the gospel all the time. And so as Philip was caught away, he landed at a certain place. He preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. So I'll close now. What does this scripture teach about Philip? Well, he was a man who had been captured by the purpose of God. Persecution didn't sway him. He didn't look for fame and fortune in Samaria like Simon did. He was there for God's purpose. He was there to lift up the Lord. He was a man of obedience. When the Lord spoke, he responded. He was a man who was easily led by the Spirit of God. What do I mean easily? Well, I think the Lord speaks to us all. But we think sometimes we have to analyze it. We say, well, I'm not worthy. How could God use me? We have all these reasons why. He was easily led by the Spirit of God. Go to the desert. Go to the chariot. He preached the gospel to an entire city in the face of persecution. He also was willing to preach the gospel to one man. And he continued to preach the gospel in all the towns after he was miraculously moved. What a man Philip is. That's what I want to be like. I hope you do too. What does these scriptures teach about God? That God's purpose means more to him than our comfort. Sometimes persecution does come. Does that mean the Lord doesn't care about us? No, it means he cares about his work in the world. And sometimes he has to move us out of our complacency that he may be glorified. It's God's glory, not ours. Sometimes he uses negative circumstances to see his purpose fulfilled. His purpose is to preach the gospel to all people, all nations. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, all the peoples of the world. It shows us that God is already at work in the hearts of people. He is. Already at work. It's not just the person that walks into a church and comes to an altar and say, oh, well, God worked. God was working in that person's life 2 months ago, 4 months ago, maybe a year ago. He's working today. I believe it shows us that God will lead us to those people where he's working. He will lead us there. Why? Because he wants somebody to tell him. He wants someone to proclaim Christ. He wants someone to be able to pray if there's a sickness or a need. God's bringing us to those people where he's working. He will work miracles to open hearts. God does not work miracles to give glory to anybody but Jesus. And he can open hearts and cause people to come to saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. What else about God? He uses ordinary people. Ordinary people. Everybody in this room can be like, just be like, it's like Philip. Everybody. You don't have to go to seminary. You don't have to be a great flaming evangelist. You can just be a person who hears and says, yes, Lord. He uses obedient people. I wonder how many of the works of God are not done because his people won't respond. What would have happened if Philip said, you know what? I kind of like it here in Samaria. I don't want to go down to the desert. See, it's just, it's learning to be able to, you know, in our prayer life, just cultivating that relationship with the Lord that we hear him and we easily respond. He uses obedient people. And then finally, the cutting edge of ministry is found in the focus on preaching the gospel and a heart of obedience to the voice of the Lord. That's where you will find God moving. A focus on the preaching of the gospel and people whose heart are obedient to the voice of the Lord. That's where it'll happen. So I'd like you to stand with me, if you would. We'll pray. Lord Jesus, I pray that everyone here could recognize that you are at work in this world. You care about the souls of everyone. That's why you sent Jesus. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And we live in this world now, Lord God, where you're still at work. You worked in our lives before we became a Christian. And now there are other people that are out here that you are stirring, you are moving in their lives. You desire them to come to know you. You move heaven and earth to reach these people, Lord God. I just pray that we could all become more and more like this man Philip, a true believer, focused on the glory of Christ, a true laborer together with you, Lord. Let us be just like that. I ask in Jesus' name.